You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 16th, 2020. Along the Florida panhandle, they're dealing with a storm named Sally. Came ashore near Gulf Shores, Alabama, and of course in Alabama they're also dealing with it. Came ashore as a Cat 2 storm. Now it's down to Cat 1, still moving forward, 75-mile-an-hour sustained winds. 20 miles northwest of Pensacola. It is going at a slow 5 miles an hour, dumping torrents of rain. They're expecting up to 35 inches of rain in some parts. In addition to the storm surge, deadly flooding is expected. Damage, they can't get in to see all of it yet. And of course, in the west, in California, Oregon, Washington, they continue dealing with some of the most serious wildfires they've had in history. Devastating some sections. We told you about how the smoke settles over some parts of that area, making it extremely difficult for those living in Oregon, Washington, and those sections of California. But also how some has gotten into the jet stream and making its way across the nation, creating milky white skies across the Midwest and then also into New York. And also report that now that smoke has traveled across the Atlantic Ocean to Northern Europe. And they're still battling it. Rank-and-file Democrats say they're increasingly frustrated with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. They don't think she's doing enough because she continues to want to out-negotiate congressional Republicans and Donald Trump, and they're not doing enough. They don't think that Pelosi is doing enough to get some money into the hands of people who need it during this time. Pelosi continues her hardline approach in negotiations, demanding a coronavirus bill of $2.2 trillion, with a lot of extra stuff thrown in. Senate Republicans had a bill they offered last week. Senate Democrats rejected that. So it's not just the House, it's the Senate as well. In the meantime, the Department of Defense and federal health agencies outlining plans for a coronavirus vaccine, when we have it, making them available free for all Americans. Vaccinations would start gradually among some segments of the population, health workers, other essential workers, and of course, the more vulnerable, once we have a vaccine. And 2020 Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden says, when he was asked in an interview in Florida, would you roll things back and shut things down again if there's another spike in coronavirus? He said, yes, I would. What I laid out in March, we're going to roll it back. We'll be in position to do everything. And in other words, he is willing to shut down the country again. He says, absolutely, I would do it. Biden is also hitting back at Trump's call for pre-debate drug tests. Trump had said, maybe Biden should and I should both take some drug tests before we do the debate. Yeah, it's just stuff going back and forth. It's politics, my friend. And to that extent, the Senate Homeland Security Committee Chairman, Ron Johnson, Republican, Wisconsin, announcing he will release an interim report on a months-long investigation into the Obama administration dealings with Ukraine of Joe Biden and his son, Hunter. That'll be coming out in about a week. Yes, timing, again, ahead of the presidential election. Will it actually amount to the October surprise, or will there be more coming in October? We still have a ways to go. Anything can and will happen at any level. If you doubt it, just sit back and watch. But I do suggest you buckle up. We know the state of New York, and in particular New York City, is under a big, big budget crisis. They are now making a decision to start furloughing employees. The current fiscal year budget, $7 billion less than what the city expected. Well, that's because of all the tax revenue, as they had to shut businesses down because of COVID. And this furlough will include Mayor Bill de Blasio and his wife, who also has a government job. He will lose money during that week shutdown on the furlough. He will lose about $5,000. He makes $258,000 per year, but $5,000 will be saved. Maybe some other New Yorker will get it. Maybe it would just, like all the money in New York, evaporate.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Till I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, oh, number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And I'm
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
How much credit do you give the President of the United States for these peace agreements?
Well, hopefully they won't. Hopefully they will be beneficial to the region. We've been waiting for a very long time for the President's proposal for an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement that honored the two-state solution. It was coming in 2 weeks. It was coming in 2 months. It was coming in 6 months. It still hasn't come in any way that has brought peace. So good for him for having a distraction on a day when the numbers of people who are affected and the numbers of people who are dying from this virus only increase.
That is Nancy Pelosi from last week in an interview with Wolf Blitzer, CNN, NNN, already throwing cold water on the peace treaty accord signed by Israel, United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain yesterday. They're titled the Abraham Accords. And, of course, there is hope that other countries will come forward and join and look for some kind of peace in the Middle East. It is a first step. It's a beginning. The same as when Carter got the Egypt deal done. It's a first step. It is a major step. It's for first in 26, 27 years. It is not worthy of coverage by the mainstream media. Unless they can poke fun at it or mock it or say it falls short or doesn't amount to anything. And you get Nancy Pelosi there even before it was done, saying it's a distraction for the president. He can point to this instead of more deaths from COVID-19. I looked again today at the CNN front page. It was not on there yesterday. At various times I checked. Maybe you saw it. Maybe I checked the wrong time, because believe me, in the news business, you have to, especially have to turn material over, and maybe something makes a cut. It's played at one time, 1 hour, and the next hour it's not, but it comes back an hour or two later. But I didn't see it again today. What I did see is that how the NBC did it, their chief foreign affairs correspondent, Andrea Mitchell, insisting in her reporting, when they did actually report on it, this does not amount to, quote, Middle East peace. Lester Holt began that piece on NBC Nightly News saying, while the agreement will, quote, normalize nations and bring them closer together, a broader Middle East peace is still an elusive goal. I don't think anyone doubts that. Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, Jewish, who worked to bring them together, would probably agree, yes, there's more to be done, but it is a first step, and it's historic step to that extent. But Mitchell's response, showing how bitter the left can be because Trump did this on his watch and Obama didn't. She reported, with pomp and circumstance, the president is heralding the first Arab nations to recognize Israel since 1994. Both countries have quietly dealt with Israel for years, sharing intelligence against Iran, a common enemy. Yep, but not officially. And then she added, but today's agreements open the doors for trade, travel, and tourism. It is not Middle East peace. Is that the way we're going to have to play the game? Let me tell you how I would look at it if it were the other way around. See, if you can put yourself on the other side and have the same attitude you did when you're on the other side before you switch positions, then I think you really have a clear understanding and you're being, quote, fair and balanced with yourself and your view. If Obama had gotten these countries together to sign this, I would still say it was an historic agreement, because there had been nothing between first Arab nations recognizing Israel since 1994. And I would give Obama credit for that. But I could also say, and it would be true, this is still not true peace in the Middle East, and it's still an elusive goal. I could take Andrea Mitchell's copy and use it, but I would at least agree that it's an important event. I wouldn't diss it. I wouldn't fail to report it. But the mainstream media just won't do it because Trump did it. That should tell you everything about where we are in this country, in the sense that when something like that's done, we should all be happy. We don't want to have nuclear battles and wars breaking out in the Middle East. We still have to deal with Iran and the deal that was signed off in that accord that Obama shoved down. We've torn it up, of course, since. And Iran, we know, is still busy with their nuclear reactor efforts, but we also know the sanctions have cut off a lot of money coming in from their oil because it's not getting out. But for the left, two options. Ignore it, not a big deal, because it involved Trump, or two, dismiss it, say, well, it's still an elusive goal to have peace in the Middle East. It's an elusive goal sometimes to have peace in your family, is it not? And speaking of peace, what about in our streets? There's another clear example right in your face on a nightly basis. When you've got mainstream media reporters standing and saying, for the most part, these protests are peaceful, and behind them you say a business going up in flames is not so peaceful for that business back there. It's not so peaceful for the people that got beat up or those who got attacked, and in some cases severely, often law enforcement, while they're trying to protect a facility or other people. And, of course, I read you this report the other day where, I don't remember the source, but the bottom line was 94% of the protests were peaceful. Okay. But 6% sure weren't. Right now, if you want to make a percentage-wise, with Hurricane Sally coming ashore Alabama and Florida panhandle, 90-plus percent of this nation is free of the hurricane and its winds and waters. So it really doesn't exist, does it? Well, hell, it doesn't for the people that live down there. How about the wildfires? You can take the same analogy. We don't have any wildfires where I live. It's all good. Congressman Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona. I always want to give you the source in that sense. I never try to hide their alliance because I want you to know, if you have any doubt, where it's coming from. And Andy Biggs is a Republican, Arizona congressman. He's on the process of presenting a special order on the House floor to find out who's been funding the recent riots. He said there's going to be about law and order and attacks on police and neighborhood communities. He said, we made requests to the AG's office to investigate some of the people who seem to be organized and running the riots. And now we'd need to use the laws Congress made, such as RICO, Racketeer, Influenced, and Corrupt Organizations Act, to try to legally dissuade people from getting involved in causing this. Because, yes, they've been traveling across state lines, causing troubles, creating war on cops, and they want police defunded, right? That's the whole idea. And then the war on cops has escalated where police officers just, it's always been that if you're a police officer, you take a chance when you put a badge on. You basically have made yourself a target long before any of this happened. If somebody wants to take out a law officer, it's pretty easy to spot them and they go after them. But long before we got to this point, where we have, one, legitimate complaints and concerns about how some police had treated black citizens, even leading to their death, and also should be held accountable, and others that are questionable either way, and others that are clearly proper response by police for what they faced. You can't throw a blanket and say it's all one way or the other. It is not. It is not. But too many just want to put it under there. That's why they basically want to say blacks are being hunted down by police every day. That is not true. It is not true. You know that. Same is to say every cop hates blacks and is out to shoot them. That's not true either. Now, I don't even know how you begin to describe it if it's a minority officer. But you look again at what happened in L.A. the other day at the metro station, the two sheriff's deputies sitting inside their car, simply watching over a metro transit area, probably expecting nothing more severe than someone trying to get on board without a ticket or maybe flashing someone, maybe stealing a purse. And a guy walks up, opens fire, shoots both of them, both take shots to the head, the face. The female officer, both have been on the force only 14 months. She is shot in the jaw. She's 31 years old, a mother of a 6-year-old. Her partner is 24 years old. She gets out of the car and gets him out of the car and gets him behind a column in case a guy comes back and starts shooting again to protect him. They had done nothing, and yet they're part of the war on cops. Amy Kennedy, Democrat. By the way, that video we put up at Larry Connors USA Facebook, it's still there. If you have not seen that video, I encourage you to go see it. Amy Kennedy, Democrat candidate for New Jersey's 2nd Congressional District, said that Democrats who oppose defunding or abolishing police are not doing enough to address racism. It's not going to be enough to simply defund or abolish police. We've got to do more. So then we come to this story from Minneapolis. Minneapolis. They finally had a council meeting. Minneapolis, which is, of course, kind of the beginning of all this, the George Floyd case. Minneapolis City Council had a study session on police reform. That's the way it was slated. But for much of the two-hour meeting, according to the report written for this publication, Minneapolis News, the police chief heard constituents complaining about street racing that led to crashes, daylight carjackings, robberies, assaults, and shootings, and residents asking, where are the police? Where are the police? We rely on them. We can't see them. They're nowhere to be found. Many police officers resigning already. Others saying, I'm not going to go do that job. And the two officers in California, the sheriff's deputy shot down, the woman I told you about, she had been a librarian, but she suddenly decided, I want to do something to help my community. And she's paid a high price for it. Both will survive, but who knows what long-term effects and damage they will have. By the way, a Pennsylvania judge set the bail at $1 million each, $1 million each for several protesters rioting in the wake of a police shooting in Lancaster. $1 million each. Seattle police arresting 11 yesterday for, again, more anti-police demonstrations. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, you might have heard that Jim Cramer of the Financial News called Nancy crazy. How did that happen? How did that play out? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Jim Cramer is the host of CNBC and his program Mad Money. It's a pretty engaging program if you've ever watched it. Giving information on stocks, what's good, what's bad, what's going up, what's going down. And he was interviewing Nancy Pelosi, talking about the stalled negotiations on a fourth coronavirus stimulus package. And when he's in the process of asking, well, what's going to bring this to an end? When are you guys going to find something? Things kind of unfolded as he referred to Nancy as crazy. All right. The stage is set. Please listen.
I mean, what deal can we have, Crazy Nancy? I'm sorry. That was the president. I have such reverence for the office, I would never use that term. But it is
hard.
But
you just did.
Oh, come on.
But you just did.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. The reverence I have for the office is so great that I think it's a travesty to ever call. Look, you spent
well, you know what? Let me just say this. Anything the president says is a projection of his own insecurities. He calls other people crazy because he knows he is.
Now, when he said it, it was said that was the president. He didn't quote the president saying the president calls you crazy, Nancy. He just said it. He just kind of threw it out there. So I have the feeling that Jim's probably used the term before anyway, but he did it. And Nancy, I'm going to give her credit, when he said, I would never use that term. She said, but you just did. You just did. And he's trying to get around and say, oh, you know what I mean, and trying to turn it into a joke and an apology. Well, immediately, of course, it got hit by the leftists immediately. One's writing out, if Jim Cramer's allowed by CNBC to speak to a woman on TV who is Speaker of the House, it shows CNBC has no respect for women in this country. Another one saying, it cannot be tolerated. He should be fired. A Bloomberg columnist also adding his comment saying, stay classy, Jim Cramer. Well, President Trump now weighing in over the last hour. It's become apparent that he wants to weigh in on that. And he said, Jim, you didn't need to apologize. He said, it's okay to call her crazy in her face. He said, you don't need to apologize. Which, by the way, when Jim was saying, I respect the office, and I would never use those terms because I respect the office, didn't say he respected her, did he? And was he talking about the president's office or the Speaker of the House? I'll leave that to you. Quentin pointed out to me something that I might have overlooked. I'm glad he did. Today is Mexican Independence Day. No, it ain't, Larry. It's not Cinco de Mayo. This is not the 5th of May. Well, now, friend, that's the whole issue. September the 16th is recognized as Mexico's Independence Day, the date when a Catholic priest known as Father Hidalgo made the first cry for independence. Thought Cinco de Mayo was that. No. Cinco de Mayo commemorates a battle between the Mexican and French armies in 1862. So to our Mexican heritage friends, we wish you the best on this Independence Day. And for those of you who are interested in Cinco de Mayo, you got quite a few months to wait still. Or you can do like me, just get a bottle of tequila, keep it in the freezer, and have it available when you want it. We're going to take a break when we come back. Sports and politics. Oil and water. I think we're going to get into that subject in more detail than we have previously. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And I would tell those players, go to another country and play football there. Then you don't have to come out. You don't have to come out for the anthem if you go to another country. You can, because the game's only played in this country. And if you can't respect this country, get the hell out of it.
That is Mike Ditka, Hall of Fame coach on Newsmax TV. Again, addressing players protesting the national anthem or in any kind of protest that he felt disrespected the flag. Players themselves have been mixed. Some kneel, some don't. Some stand and put a hand up on the shoulder of one who's kneeling. And it varies not just black or white. But I did note, and I know many of you have, go back 19 years ago. 19 years ago, when we were shortly after 9/11, 5 days from 9/11 removed. Sports did not resume until September the 17th. And there were numerous pictures at that time of football players, baseball players, and others running on the field, carrying the U.S. flag, honoring it, standing there. I will never forget one picture at a football game, a Dallas Cowboy lineman, big, burly, I mean, one of the biggest guys you could find, black, and he's standing there with tears in his eyes while the national anthem is underway. We have come so far from that time. Yes, Colin Kaepernick started it, and it created a firestorm then, and it continues. Numbers are down for all football right now. In fact, there's a recent internal memo. I take it back. This is not a recent, but a memo that got sent out in 2016 for the members and owners to start addressing it, trying to figure out what's going on. More recently, there have been surveys and so forth showing that the viewership is still down, but not because some are trying to say, well, it's a political season, presidential season, but a Rasmussen report study coming up and saying that, no, actually what we find is about 30% do not want to watch it, one-third, I should say, not about that number, less likely to watch an NFL game due to players taking a stand protesting the national anthem. 13% want to watch a game because of the protest. Mike Ditka's attitude expressing and reflecting many in the country. You should be thankful you have this country that allows you to play this game and reward you as you have been getting rewards. Herschel Walker, Heisman Trophy winner, also has his views on what happened at the Kansas City game when we restarted football Thursday week ago, coming up, KC and Texans. The Texans stayed inside, did not come out for the national anthem. Kansas City was out there, and some stood, some didn't. Then all the teams came out on the field and linked arms, and there was booing as they were simply linking arms. Herschel Walker.
First of all, it's great unity, but as I said early on, there shouldn't be politics in sports. But since the commissioner sort of gave in and decided to let politics come into sports, I don't think the team, the league, the owner, the commissioner has decided what do you want. You're going to protest, but you're not putting out what is the solution, what's the end game. And if you do, the player do have a right to protest, but they must realize that fans have a right to protest as well. So if they boo, you can't be upset. Point. If they don't watch the show, you can't be upset.
You can't be upset. And if you're going to allow it, you got to accept that that's the way it's going to be. I had a piece that someone had sent me, and I did not have time to track it back down again today, pointing out a looking back over various players doing things they wanted to. One of them wanted to wear something on the cleats, green, a color of green, to recognize and call attention to mental illness. And the NFL said no, and he got fined. Now, surely you remember the Dallas Cowboys wanted to put decals on their helmets after five Dallas police officers were ambushed and shot down, gunned down, murdered when they were protecting a Black Lives Matter march in Dallas. And the NFL said, no, you can't put anything on like that. And, of course, Jim Tebow, when he was writing a biblical passage on his face up under his eye, they said, you can't do that. And other schools have done the same, be they college or high school. But like I said, where were we 19 years ago in this? And speaking of 9/11, by the way, Baylor University in Texas had put up a 9/11 memorial consisting of American flags all placed together, just American flags flying. And Baylor University put up a warning sign next to that memorial saying, sensitive content. Well, now the Baylor University has decided to withdraw that, said we should not have done that. We should not recognize it as sensitive content. We have gotten to the point where the flag itself is offensive. Is that what you want in this country? How about any other cases where you have stories like out of a high school in Ohio? They were doing an honor to first responders, and one of the players decided, because the coach is also a police officer, decided to carry a thin blue flag onto the field. And that was banned. And speaking of 9/11, at a 9/11 game, what they were billing as a Patriot Night, a high school again, son of a cop and son of a firefighter carried first responder flags onto the field. And the kids were suspended for a period of time because they brought those flags on. A Pennsylvania college has had criticism about offering thin blue coronavirus masks in the college bookstore, the campus bookstore. Somebody complained. It was offensive. Or it scared them. So the Pennsylvania College pulled them out of the college store. So you want to have your side heard, but you're not willing to let the other side be heard. Let's go back to Mike Ditka on something that is critical, and these players know it. Mike Ditka.
Football, football. I mean, it's not a complicated thing. You play the game. You enjoy the game. You don't let the game get out of it. It's not for protesting one way or the other, what color you are, what you think, this and that. Hey, you play football. That's it. You know, your privilege, you got a gift from God that you can play the game because you got a body you can do it with. You got to get down on your hands and knees and thank God every day that you can make the kind of money you can make playing football or playing any sport.
I fully agree with that remark. If you're blessed with that kind of athletic skill and so many others try so, it is an elite profession. Very few get to the top of pro football, basketball, baseball. And in this nation, how do you think you got there? Your hard work and also God-given talents and the opportunity that comes inside this nation. Can you make that kind of money in Cuba playing baseball or in China? No, you can't, unless you're at the very, very top there. The rest of you, you're just going to suffer. But if you're that good and you think you can do well in China, well, China's open for you. What about football? Not so open. Again, back to Herschel Walker, former Heisman Trophy winner. He said simply, what is the end game? When does it come to an end, and what is the end game?
What is the end game? You know, you're going to stay inside, but what is the end game? What do you want? How are you going to achieve this? Because all I see is protesting, all I see is words, but there's no actions behind those words. And I said it early on, instead of everybody having their folded arms or closed fists, why don't we have an open hand? We all come together, and I love to go with you. The NFL, all major league sports, let's go to Washington. Let's get the Democratic, let's get the Republican people together, because that's the reason we're in this point right here, because they don't seem to want to get together, because with Tim Scott bill that he wanted to offer on the police reform, because remember, he mentioned that in the commercial. Well, he wanted to do a police reform, but the Democrat didn't want to meet about it. So that's what we need to do, is let's go make those groups get together and let's meet about some of these things.
That would be more effective than simply taking a stand on the field one way or the other. And it is hurting the sport. There are many folks that simply won't watch because of that. And At some point, the sponsorship will not be there. The money will not be there, because if they're not getting the ratings, they will begin to pull that back. And that, in turn, is going to cut the salaries of some of these very gifted players. Well, many of them have already made their money, and they'll be just fine. In the meantime, the Los Angeles Angels baseball team, the owner, Art Moreno, a fourth-generation Mexican-American, he said it's necessary to focus on today and the future, and in his opinion, necessary to vote for President Trump. There you have an L.A. baseball, Los Angeles Angels owner saying, support Trump. That's not going to sit well with other players and other owners. I'm sure they'll be offended. All right, speaking of being offended, did you ever consider that Beethoven's Fifth Symphony is offensive? Well, now it's being called offensive. An elitist. You know Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Remember how it starts? Play it over in your mind a little bit. Coming back from the break, we will play it for you.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you. And the way you look tonight.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yes, your love.
Did that get you out of your chair? Really? That's Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Da-da-da-da. We'll play it again in just a moment. My boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, Andrew, took note of a piece that appeared in Vox. Now, Vox, by many, is considered liberal. Some say, well, it tries to be mainstream. I'm not even going to get into that, but that's what the source is. And they wrote a piece how Beethoven's Fifth Symphony put the classicism in classical music, saying that to many, Beethoven's most famous work is a symbol of exclusion and elitism in classical music. That it's always been among wealthy white men who embraced Beethoven and his symphony, and that for others, women, LGBT plus people, people of color, the symphony may be predominantly a reminder of classical music's history of exclusion and elitism. One New York City classical music fan is quoted, writing in the 1840s, he wished, quote, all women shall be gagged by officers duly licensed for the purpose before they're allowed to enter a concert room. I guess they're talking. Oh, and of course, when you walk in, if you go into the concert hall, there are certain things. You don't cough, you don't cheer, you dress appropriately. Yeah, have you been to the symphony? You don't have to go in coat and tie anymore, but I mean, and there are folks that show up in jeans and so forth, but many kind of look at it as a dress up, but it's not. The times I've been, I haven't been recently, not all white, majority white, but also a mix of gender and probably sexual preference. But now, Beethoven's Fifth is considered elitist and offensive. New York Philharmonic clarinist Anthony McGill, who's quoted in the Vox article, one of the few black musicians they point out in that ensemble, agrees that the classical music appears monolithic and stifling, I should say, and he likens it to a wall between classical music and new diverse audiences. He said, if you pretend like there's no other music out there, Beethoven's the greatest music ever. Well, I don't know. You know, there are a lot of different kinds of music out there. They appeal to certain genders and are demographics of different type. I like country. I like classical. I like some rap, believe it or not. Some folks consider all rap offensive. Some of it is. Some folks, we were at an event Sunday, a what they call a poker ride on the Harley ride, and we were going from Waterloo, Illinois, to another location, and when we got to the other location, there's a band up there playing nothing but country songs, over and over, different country songs. And one of our writers, a big white guy, said, is that all they know? I mean, can we get something other than country? I said, is that offending you? He said, well, it is right now. I said, man, welcome aboard. I mean, I'm country, and I like all kinds of music. I'll accept all of it. I don't like specifics in some. But to consider it offensive, he didn't really consider it offensive. He just wanted to hear something else, I guess. I don't know what he's into. Maybe we should have played Beethoven for him. Too many things offend too many people too easily nowadays. We got to grow up. Just grow up. And I'll say again, back to the issue about politics and sports mixing on the field. The points made, let's try to make the game what it was when everybody wanted to watch it. And support the players, and they do what they want off the field and help them to that extent. That's where the real value would be. Oh, I'll ask this. We'll end today. Can I ask you, is this offensive to you? A South Florida city, Opa-locka, just recently voted to repeal some legislation that went back to 2007. applying to men and women, because they thought they better include women, but it's primarily aimed at men because the men are the ones guilty of it. The law says you cannot wear saggy pants wherein your underwear and undergarments are exposed in city buildings and parks. You've seen those guys walking around in saggy pants, showing their underwear. And I don't mean just showing a bit. I mean way down. Some of them might not know where that originated inside prisons. It was a come on. I'm available. If I drop my pants like that, I'm available. They may not even know that or not care. But I do know I was sitting in a poker game the other day, and a man next to me, a large black man, watched one of these kids come by. His pants were sagging, not way, way down, but they're still sagging. And he was probably in his 30s. The man talking to me, probably 60 plus, so he's that generation. He said, there's a grown-ass man walking around with his pants down. He didn't like it either. So it's not racial. It's just, I don't like it. It's offensive. So be it. As always, we appreciate you joining us. We have a mix of subjects on this program. Let your friends and family know about it. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow. You can go right now to your calendar and book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.